It's indeed a privilege to be here tonight, and the minister was saying about things from the past. Well, I've learned one thing, and that is you don't tell stories about ministers now, because they'll never invite you back again. It's also a very awesome thing to come and to give a word of testimony, to come and speak in front of anyone as a representative of Jesus Christ, an ambassador, to give a word of testimony. Comes with great responsibility. It comes that you have to be very faithful as you bring the Word of God. There's two things that I would say that's changed my life. A long time ago, I read a very simple book and had it one line in it. It said, the things that will change your life are the books that you read and the people that you meet. Two very important things. Recently, someone expanded it slightly and said, not only will it be the books and the people, but it might also be the places that you've went to will change your life. And just thinking of that, I want to turn you to the book of books. I want to turn you to Matthew chapter 21, please. Matthew 21, well-known passage of Scripture, says in the very first verse, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. Verse 2, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the ass and the colt and put it on them, their coat, their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. May God bless his precious word even to our own hearts tonight. Just take a moment and come to the Lord in prayer, seeking his help for each of us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, tonight humbly. We come, Lord, seeking your help tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things that went on before, for the hymns that have been sung. Even, Lord, for this video tonight of the great work that's happening in different parts of the world. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing thus far. Now, God, we pray that much help would be given tonight. Help me, Lord, I pray, as I seek to give a word of testimony, as I seek to uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember each one in this service tonight. Encourage thy people, Lord, we pray. And Lord, if there would be one tonight who's yet unsaved, oh God, we pray that they might be moved tonight and they might cry unto Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Bless us now, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think one of the dangers of giving a word of testimony is always in so many times that we can glory in sin, the sin that people have been involved in. It's also people might glory in self. And there is a massive danger. And there are some people many times who can make a testimony sensational. And I don't want to do that tonight in any way. Sometimes whenever I come to give a word of testimony, I often wonder, there's many other people who have a greater testimony. And what I mean by that is someone who has been growing up maybe in a Christian home, who got saved at a young age, who live for the Lord, and they live for the Lord every day. And today they're still serving him. And yet so many of us in our Christian life fail within all of that. And there are many parts of my life where I have failed. There are many times in my life where I've been away from the Lord. So I come tonight to give you these parts of my life as well. It is my prayer, even tonight, as I give a short testimony, in all its weaknesses, that there might be a cause, something in your life. There might be a change in your life, and the Lord would use this word tonight. I wasn't brought up as such in a Christian home, but I must say I was brought up in a very good home. My father's was brought up in Christian circles and Christian influence. My granny was a member of a local Baptist tabernacle, as you'd call it. She attended there faithfully. Because of that, I was sent along to many of a children's meeting connected with that church. My mother had grown up with a background of coming from the Church of Scotland, Presbyterian-type background. So there was an influence, a Christian influence in around our family. Even so much so, in so many ways, I can look back and see some of the simple things. That I wasn't even allowed to polish my shoes on a Sunday. My shoes had to be ready. And yet I fear in so many of those simple things today that they have gone from many Christian circles. The simple things of holding special and hallowing the Lord's Day. And we are continually bombarded with all the different the world will throw at us. But in the Christian world, in the Christian circles, should we not also hold on to it today and to teach it even to our children? This portion of Scripture, as I looked at this portion some time back, there were some things that just stood out for me within it. And I wanted to relate some of this even to my own testimony. I want you to see, firstly, the redemption that is in these verses. And you might say, well, where's the redemption in these verses? Well, very simply, whenever you look at that, you will see there it talks about the ass and the colt. And whenever you look back into Exodus 13 and verse 13, it says there, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem." I look at this and I see a colt. I see a colt that has survived. I see a colt that is there because another animal has died. And this colt, even at its young age, would not have known that. And it's exactly the same in my life. As I grew up, I didn't know that Christ had died for me. I didn't know that redemption was available to me. And I wonder tonight, even there might be one in this service, do you know that Christ died for the ungodly? There's redemption in these verses. You know, I was sent to a Sunday school every single week, a local Presbyterian church in Bush Mills. I grew up in the town of Bush Mills. But I never heard or I never understood the gospel. Sent along every week, but I never understood. All I can remember from those experiences is the coloring in of pictures. But I never heard the gospel. At the age of 7, my parents moved house just outside the town of Bush Mills. And during that time, there was no one then to take me on to church. The people who used to take me to the other church, they stopped taking me for whatever reason. It just didn't work out. But the interesting thing was that my mother at that time was coming under conviction of sin because she was being witnessed to by another woman in her work. And she was taken along to the Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church. Now, the preacher at that time in Ballymoney Free Church, has been mentioned tonight already, was the Reverend Alan Kearns. And that was the first time that really that I was taken along to church. Now, do you understand this? I used to go to Sunday school, and I thought that was bad enough. Now, my mother started to go to this church, and I used to have to go in the morning and the evening as well, twice on a Sunday. Unbelievable. But it was there that I heard the gospel, and it was there the Spirit of God dealt with my life. Week after week, as a young person, as a 7-year-old and a child, I heard the gospel. Week after week, I was convicted of where I was. See, I began to realize if I was to die at that moment, I would go to hell. And they used to sing that closing hymn. And each time the closing hymn would be sung, at the offer of the gospel, the offer to come for salvation was given. And I wanted to acknowledge that I needed to be saved. And I wanted to acknowledge it by putting up my hand. But I fought that week after week, even as a child. And finally, one night I raised my hand to go forward for prayer. You know, I was taken into a little room, and there I was counseled. And there I was to pray a prayer. And at the end of the minister's prayer, he said to me, "Have you prayed the prayer?" I said I had, but I actually hadn't. But you know, I left that place that night, and my mother believed that I was saved, and she told my father that I was saved, and my granny and friends, even at that young age. You know, not much changed for me in that sense, apart from the fact I was now going to Sunday school, never mind two times on a Sunday as well. But life was okay. Primary school was fine. There was no issue over that. Even into secondary school, there was no great issue around religion, Christianity. There was nothing. Life was easy enough. By the age of 15 or so, the new church in Coleraine had just been built, and there was a special gospel mission that had been going on because of the opening of the church. Dr. Paisley was preaching those Sunday afternoons. As I sat in the gallery, as I looked down at him, I acknowledged the fact that my life was not where it was supposed to be. I knew that something was missing in my life. I knew that my life wasn't right. I want you to notice over in the portion of Scripture that we've been looking at, where the disciples were sent to go and get these colts. Look at the verse 2. "Find an ass tied and colt with her, loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say unto thee, ye shall say the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying." Secondly, I want you to notice these animals were released. Not only were they redeemed, but they were released. And that is where I was, because on that day, sitting in that pew that day, in a very simple manner, I just prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I know I'm not right." And I said, "Take my hands, take my feet, take my all." And there was a change in my life. It was that day, I believe, I met the Lord. It was that day that I accepted Christ. And again, from that, getting involved in church and been strengthened by church and Sunday school, I grew spiritually speaking. But I had two great interests as a young person, as I'm quite sure many young people maybe that time had. My first interest was on religion or Christianity, and my second interest was in politics. Some of you might despair at that. But that was my interest, and that was the road that I was going down. School, as I said, was easy from the Christian point of view. And I went through school fairly easily, and I was able to witness for him even in that. So many times you hear young people, and they've had issues at secondary school and the backslide, but that wasn't me. I was quite strong in my faith. I left school and got myself into a place of employment. I got a job working at that time, working in the tire industry. I went there purely for 1 year. I thought 1 year will do me, and then I'll find myself another job. But you know, there's great, we need to always be careful. And it says over in 1 Corinthians 10 and chapter 12, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Take heed lest he fall. My politics was going to take me in a different direction. My politics were going to get me associated with people I shouldn't have been associated with. And maybe at this time, it's a good time to think that the devil uses different things for different people. Some people may go in end up with drugs, some people with alcohol, whatever it might be for certain people. But for me, what was taking me down the wrong road was the politics. But the one thing that we've all got to understand, we've all got to take 100% responsibility for the mistakes that we make and the roads that we take. You know, sometimes we all want to blame someone else. We can't. It's our own fault. It's our own direction that we went. Now, I got involved in politics, and at that time, the Secretary of State was Tom King, who was in Northern Ireland, and that a lot of protests were going on around the country, and I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to go and help out in these protests. And there I was, coming to the Giant's Causeway, coming to my backyard as such, and I went there to protest. Well, as we were protesting, or as I was protesting in front of his vehicle, and we tried to stop him from coming up out of the Giant's Causeway, there was nowhere for me to go because the police was trying to come one way, and the van that he was in was coming the other way, and the only place where I could end up was on top of the roof. So I ended up on top of that van roof, and it was actually belonged to the National Trust, I believe, at that time. The old man who was driving the van, he said that he felt that I was going to get shot because one of the men had brought out a gun. They didn't know what was happening, of course. That got me an evening into the local police station. So you can see how you end up getting caught into these things. You end up getting into trouble, breaking the peace or whatever I was fined for at that time. But you know, that led even deeper to other things and with the wrong people, as I said. I'm not going to get into this in a deep way, but that ended up with me going into the holding centre in Castlereagh for questioning. And because of that, then after a weekend, we were let out. Ended up in the Crumlin Road jail for a short time and then let out again. Just because of association in many ways. As I stood that Monday morning, I believe it was, the old judge, he looked over his glasses, and he looked over, there was five of us, and he said, you know, if you're with the crows, you'll be shot at. It doesn't matter how innocent you think you are, you're with the wrong crowd. See, so often we want to make ourselves as white as white. I was very fortunate in that situation because I had good parents. I had good friends. I had people who came and helped my parents at that time financially. I also had a good place I was working who was good to me as well. And I also had good people in, even around the church. There's a motivational speaker. His name is Jim Rohn. And he made the comment, and I just bring this in to illustrate even further. He said, you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. If you look at Scripture, I believe that's true. And I wonder tonight, even as you're sitting in this church, who are the five people you're spending the most time with? Tell me your friends, and I'll tell you what you're like. Whether that be in a business capacity, whether that be in a home life capacity, or whether that be in a school. Young people, who are you spending time with? What type of associations have they got? Are they taking you and influencing you on a different path than you should do? You know, as time went on and I was getting some of these things sorted out, you know, you think you're getting your life sorted out, but because of your past association, things just don't disappear. The policeman still has the file on you. He still thinks what's going on in that person's life. I remember, I think I was going home one night from my work. I was picked up again by the police and taken to Armagh this time, Golf Barracks, for questioning. Well, thankfully, I wasn't guilty this time, and I got let home within a couple of days. But you know how we can be led from one place to another. If you have your Bibles there, just turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. But my thinking was wrong. And that's where it talks about these casting down imaginations. These things that are in opposition to Christ. And maybe even tonight, there's a believer in here tonight, and you've got some weird thinking in your mind. There may be something tonight that you wouldn't even reach over to your neighbor with the gospel. Just some of the simple things. Because of the wrong thinking, there's people that we won't witness to potentially because of that. And we are not to be bound in that wrong thinking tonight as believers. And I would challenge you to look at your own life and see, what are some of the thoughts, what are some of the things I hold to as a believer even tonight? Are they right according to God's word? I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. In John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, a well-known verse, it says, Then said Jesus to these Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So often we use that verse of scripture, that verse 32, to the unbeliever. But notice, it was to the believer. It was to the believer. They were being held up and bound in wrong beliefs and wrong thinking. And here they were saying, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So often we take the scriptures and we want to add to it or take away from it. How we need to hold purity. The other thing I learned even from my past experience is your past doesn't have to determine your future. It doesn't matter where you are tonight. That's not where you have to be. Maybe tonight you're unsaved tonight. Then we would encourage you to get saved, to come to the Lord for salvation. Maybe tonight you're a believer, but you've fallen and backslidden. Don't let that hold you back. You can grow again. You can come back to the Lord in repentance. See, one of the greatest examples of that is found in John chapter 21. And there we find about Simon Peter. Remember Peter denied the Lord thrice? How would he ever return from that? How would he ever get over that? Starts in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. As a young person, as a believer, seeking to live for the Lord, I remember I said at the start about the books that you read and the people that you meet. I read a particular book and it was called Dancing with Demons. It was written by a man called Jeff Godwin. And Jeff spoke out against the dangers of rock music and of Christian rock music. And I was moved by this book, even at this stage, because a lot of my friends were getting involved even in Christian rock music. And I thought to myself, I should write to this man and see if he's ever going to be in the United Kingdom. I wrote to him. It turned out that he wasn't. He'd never been out of the United States. He was a man who hadn't even seen the seaside, believe it or not. And I ended up, even as a young person in my 20s, you might call it that, I organized for him to come to Northern Ireland. And he was in many of our churches throughout the north here. We had meetings in Belfast. We started off in, I'm trying to think of the name, a big hall in Belfast, a place you go skating, try to remember what it was. Anyhow, we had a room up there. We had 120 people in it. The very first night, we had a young man who came along. He was very interested. He was unsaved, and he followed all the meetings that Jeff had. We ended up with different meetings in Belfast, and we ended up finally with a meeting in Coleraine with over 500 people involved. But because of that, I ended up building a friendship with a person called Stephen McLean, And Stephen was involved in Christian rock music, and we got to know each other through that. And from the introduction with Jeff Godwin, he introduced me to Dave DeCanio, who many of you, I'm sure, would know. And I got to know Dave before he actually was in the Free Presbyterian Church. And I ended up bringing Dave over to Northern Ireland as well. Spent some time here. Got to know another man, a man called David Brown, a pastor in America. And another person called Jerry Sutek, who was a Baptist pastor working in Belfast or in Ballymena at the time. He's now out in the Philippines. How God brings people into your life through service. And how these different people have always had an impact or an influence even on my own life. Because of that, and I was saying about organizing different meetings, there was always that outreach feel to it. We had outreach outside the nightclubs, music festivals. And we always had a good group of people involved in those things. And many of them, I looked at a picture one night of a group of us who went to Slane Castle, and a number of them are involved now in full-time service, or involved in the work of the Lord. And even as a part of that, we created a website called eternitywhere.com. And finally, and very quickly, not only did we notice the redemption, not only did we notice about the colt being loosed, I want you to also to notice the requirement. The requirement. And the requirement of this colt and of this ass. What was the requirement? The requirement was simple, and it was to carry Christ into Jerusalem. To carry Christ into Jerusalem. And that is all that we are called to do. And all this scheme of things that we think about, no matter what we are doing tonight, my role here is not some prestigious role. My role here is to be like an ass and a colt and to carry Christ into Jerusalem and to carry Christ to wherever I am. And as a part of that, I also sought to witness for the Lord in everything that I did. Have I let the Lord down? Yes. But I've always kept moving forward. I mentioned at one point about not cleaning my shoes on a Sunday. I wasn't allowed to clean my shoes on a Sunday by my parents. I remember the opportunity I had in the tire industry where I started to work for 1 year. I ended up working there for 18 years, by the way, but that's another story. But I had the chances of promotion. And one of the times I was went up for promotion, I asked a question around the opening of our centres on a Sunday. So I brought the subject up, and the boss at that time said to the other man who was from HR, he said, "Oh, Andrew's a committed Christian," was the way he put it. He wouldn't want to be working on a Sunday. As a result of that, they said, look, none of the centres would be open, and if they are, it wouldn't concern you. You wouldn't have to be working yourself. But that still troubled me. And I had to contact them a couple of days later and say, I don't think this is for me. And I walked away as such from the job. I don't say that for any glory, but purely because of the conviction that I had. My boss came back to me later and said, don't worry about it. And I thought that was me out of the running. And 2 weeks later, I actually received that particular job. So God does bless. And while I was in charge, the place has never opened on the Sabbath day. I've been blessed over the years. I've been active in the local church. And I say tonight, if you are in the church, then you should be active. I believe each of you should be members of a church. You should be active in every role you can and look for opportunities. I got involved in children's meetings, Sunday school, junior Bible class, senior Bible class. I was a deacon for a number of years, 15 years, I believe it was. I've also been an elder now for approximately 5 years. I've been involved in monthly outreach programs, even from our own church, where we've covered Oma Town a number of times now with gospel tracts and invitations. Helped set up the outreach to the farming show in the last few years. And also, I've had great opportunities to witness to people personally, whether that be to the atheist, to the Muslim, to the Jew, or to the backslider. I had a great opportunity. One day I was coming back from Dublin, talking to this woman. And as we get the opportunities come up, it turned out that she was a backslider. Just the opportunities have been willing to look for them. In Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark. And I know as you look up here tonight, you don't really see an athlete of a person. But I have completed 2 marathons, believe it or not. And that's not the ones you eat, by the way. But I have completed 2 marathons. And those verses really ring true. That pressing forward, that patience that needed, that persistence that needed in the Christian life is the same. Our destination we're running for is heaven. And we're following Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith tonight. And we're running for that prize, that prize of the high calling of God. Is that what you're doing tonight? Or have you slacked off? I have been blessed with a godly wife. I've been blessed with a family. I was blessed over the last number of years where I've started working on my own. I remember a short time after working on my own, I was reading through the scriptures. And I came across that verse in Esther 10 and 3. That's what Mordecai, and it said of Mordecai, he was seeking the wealth of his people. And that word wealth just struck me, and I thought, what does that word wealth mean? And it means very simply to the betterment, the all-round betterment of a person. And that's what I wanted my business to be and my influence to be, that in every situation I should leave it better than it was before. In business, we hear a lot about goals in life. One time I looked up the average age, how long someone lives. I think the average age they gave was 83 years of age. I remember doing a very simple, it was a thing called the ribbon of life. Well, I used a tape measure just to make it easy for me, but I took this 100 centimeter tape measure. Then you worked out what age you were, and you cut it off. Sorry, you started off, you cut off to 83, sorry, that was the first thing. Then you cut off the number of years that you had lived. So in this case, let's just say I was 53, make it easy for my counting. That means you're left with 30 centimeters in this tape measure. And then you think about it also, did you sleep for a third of your life and you're only left with 20 centimeters? And that 20 centimeters is representative of the life that you've got left. When you think about goals and the importance of goals, and we think of the urgency that we all have, See, each one of us has a COD, a checkout date. Some of you, that might be a short time, and we don't know. Some of you, that might be a longer time, and we don't know. But you know what? We can make all the plans, we can have all the goals, we can have all the business we can between now and then, and that short time, whatever it might be for you. But is that it? See, life's more than just what we have now. It's about the afterlife. It's after the checkout date. That's the important thing. And I wonder tonight, have you made preparation for death? See, the books that you've read, they can make a massive impact. Books I've read on business, books I've read on Christianity and religion, but nothing beats the book that God has given to us. And all the people we've met throughout the life, men I've mentioned tonight have been a great impact in my life, but none of them beat the impact of Christ, the man of God. And have you met him tonight? Is he real to you tonight? And also one of the other things we said, the places that you go could change your life, or the places you be. Maybe tonight this place could be a change for you. Maybe tonight the Lord is speaking to you and is calling you even to himself. The portion of scripture we read in Matthew 21 said in that verse 10, and when they were come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? See, it's not who is Andrew Dobbin tonight, and I want you to get that. It's who is Christ? Who is the one who saved me? Who is the one who's made a change in my life? Do you know him tonight? Because verse 11 answers it. And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee. Tonight we don't point you to a church. Tonight we don't point you to a man, but tonight we point you to Jesus Christ, who died for sinners. May God bless this testimony even to your own hearts tonight. Pass over to our brother again.
Andrew, for being with us this evening and testifying the grace of God and his salvation, and the Lord's grace in helping him to serve. And may the Lord enable each and every one of us to do that. And if you have never met the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, may you meet with him. Let us close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incident in the life of Christ in relation to the colt of the ass. We thank you, Lord, that it was redeemed and redemption had been provided for it. And we thank you this evening that we can say redemption has been provided through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. We thank you that the little colt was released. Lord, born in sin, we are ensnared by sin. We are the slaves of sin. We are the servants of sin, and we're bound by sin. O God, we thank you that God's salvation sets us free. We thank you for setting Andrew free. As a young man sitting in the balcony there in Coleraine, when thy servant preached, we thank you that he was set free from sin and he began to serve the Lord. And though there were mistakes and errors, failures and sins in his life that he has mentioned in passing tonight, we thank you for the pardoning grace of God that can forgive the backslider and restore the backslider and set him on the right path for the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you restored him. And we thank you, Lord, that he began to serve thee. And we thank you that as that little ass or that colt was used to bring Christ and lift him up and present him before the people, we pray, Lord, that now and in the time to come, all of thy children, redeemed of the Lord, will uplift Christ, hold him forth before the multitudes, that sinners would receive him. Heavenly Father, lead us on with thyself. Use us in thy service. Bring glory and honor to thy name. And tonight, Lord, speak to the sinner. Speak to the backslider. Bring them to thyself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.